Welcome to the Lambs to Lions podcast. Thank you for joining us. Whether you are exploring your faith in God or looking to grow deeper in your walk with Christ, you're going to be encouraged, challenged, and transformed by this teaching from God's Word.
You know, one of the things I've learned over the years, because I always tell people I'm not young anymore. And that's because it's the truth. I've learned over the years that God's word is yea and amen. What it says is what it means.
Yeah.
And too often, I do believe we try to read too much into what's there and not just accept it for face value. Mm-hmm. Real important to accept God's word that way. You know, and when I was listening to, what happened was my wife gave me a brief outline of notes that Pastor Matt had fired out last week about his, how things were unfolding in his mission trip. And, you know, and I could tell from what was written on those notes that there were some difficult times there. So, you know, we prayed fervently for him because that's what the word says, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So we prayed specifically that Pastor Matt would get great revelation and that he would see Holy Spirit move like he's never seen it move before. And I know that happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important, you know, when we get together as men, to get together as men, to be lions, not just to be kittens or little pussycats. Mm-hmm. We're lions. And lions are not, lions are strong. They're not weak. Mm-hmm. Lions, well, when you see the lions on all these, you know, documentaries, they're vicious, they're eating something, but we don't do that, you know. We're the nice lions. But anyway, so the text, you know, that Pastor Matt kind of put out was more than money, generosity with your time and energy. Mm-hmm. I have not always been good with my time and the commitment I've given to the church. So I'll be honest with you. I haven't always been able to devote the amount of time that I should have. There's always a reason not to do something. You notice that?
Come on.
And yeah, especially when it's something that's going to affect the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
The enemy will put something in your way, you know. And when last week when Pastor Shar talked about joy and happiness, yeah, most people consider joy and happiness the same thing. Right. No. And I loved how she showed that it wasn't, you know, that joy is an experience of great pleasure or delight. Joy comes from what's happening within us. Happiness is well-being and contentment and depends on what's happening around us. Mm. We tend to roll that into one. You know, and in this world, we're bombarded on TV or by, you know, commercials that if you don't have money, you got nothing. Mm. Well, I like money.
Yeah,
but what I like more is what money can do.
Right. Yeah, so that's good.
That's what money can do for the kingdom, right?
Come on.
And, you know, my wife and I, we have been designated kingdom builders, and we found out this week that Touching Hearts Family Services is now the largest company in British Columbia that does what we do.
Woo!
Now, that's a God thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not a Bob and Sharon thing. It's yeah. a God thing because he has taken this ministry and he's just grown it and grown it and grown it. You know, and it's absolutely amazing. You know, in 4 years we've gone from nothing to being yeah. the biggest.
Wow!
And it's just going to keep growing. It's just going to yeah. keep growing. And one of the things that we've learned through our growth and through our sowing into the kingdom is that whether it's buying somebody a meal or whether it's getting some groceries for somebody, or whether it's meeting a need, whether it's rent, even buying vehicles. God doesn't look at it in the magnitude of what he asks you to do. He looks at the level of obedience.
Wow, yeah. That's good.
It's all about obedience. You know, when God says, I want you to do this, please do it. Don't question it. And I remember the one time my wife came to me and said, God told me we're to empty our bank accounts. And I looked at her and I said, then do it.
Wow.
And we did it. And we've learned through this level of obedience and honoring God at what he asks us to do, that he can move in us and through us, and he's taken us to a point where we have an organization now that we employ 80 people. You know, we have, you know, it's just amazing. It kind of blows me away. And I mean, I worked in big business most of my life. That was how I paid my bills. I worked in the automotive sector. And I've never seen growth quite like what we've seen in the last 4 years.
Come on.
So God gets the glory for that. That's what he does. When we didn't have money, and there was a time when we didn't have money, we tried to give as much time as possible to the church. You know, we served in different capacities. I mean, in other words, we did the hospital visitations. Mm-hmm. We did communion. We did teaching, motivational gifts. We ran the vacation day camp for kids. Got contributions for the gifts for all the kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get involved in all the functions in the church. But sometimes that's not enough. Because that time that you contribute to the church is great and wonderful. But if you're not contributing time between you and your father, it's of no value.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I've learned that the hard way. Because, I mean, I look at myself in the mirror and I say, Bob, you're almost perfect. But I'm lying. I'm not always perfect. But, you know, I've learned over the years through these challenges, life challenges, that I could have done a lot of things better. But you know, thank God the word says that he takes that which was meant for evil and causes it to be for good.
Yeah.
So I've learned from these situations and I've grown from them. It's good. We're blessed.
So blessed.
We're very blessed. I think I've told most people in here about the $40 tithe.
No, you need to say it again.
Can I say it again?
Yes, sir.
Sharon and I were broke. We had no money. She was back at studying at Rhema, doing her final year in her course. And the Lord sent a woman to our front door who gave us an envelope with $400 in it. And she said, God told me to give you this. Groceries. Thank God. We like to eat. And after this lady left, Sharon was just walking into the kitchen, and the Lord said to her, are you going to tithe on that? And she said, yes. So she tithed $40. 2 days later, we got our first contract for Touching Hearts Family Services. And that contract was worth
$417,000.
That's God.
Yeah.
Not 10%, not 10 times, not 100 times, but 1,000 times more than he asked us to give. 1,000 times. That kind of blows my way. And I share this a lot with people because I would like them to grasp what Sharon and I had grasped.
Come on.
I would like them to, I mean, I want everybody I know or I speak to be in a place where they're debt-free,
yeah.
where they've got all the finances they need to do whatever they need to do. They can support the church, all of that stuff. But until you get that out of here.
Yeah, come on.
And into here.
Right, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Need to get it in there, boys. Mm-hmm. Get it into the heart. Yes.
So good.
Oh, that's fun. It's been a fun ride, I got to be honest with you. I like what Pastor Matt said in his notes. I do pay attention to him sometimes. he said this, the more you give your time to others, that includes the church, by the way, the more God multiplies your peace and purpose.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Very good.
That was a good one. I'm so good I put it in my notes.
Yeah.
That's good. So, as far as generosity is concerned, generosity is really just about your time. It's not just about the money. It really comes down to the measure of your devotion to the kingdom of God.
Ooh, that's good.
What does devotion mean? When I look at the meaning of devotion, I consider that to be enthusiasm and committed service amounting to a greater level of self-dedication. Sounds complicated, but it's very simple, actually. It means service by choice, by grace. God isn't calling us to be generous with our wallets, but to be generous with what's in our hearts.
Yeah.
Can somebody read Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, please? A great scripture here.
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil.
Yeah, the days are evil. So true. Every day we're going to be confronted with challenges. Every day the enemy is at every opportunity going to try and distract us, redirect us, and take us to a place where we're no longer working for the kingdom. It's just amazing what happened. We see this happening all the time in our homes because we have 15 homes now. And we can see individuals, specific individuals come in, and there's one incident happens and it just flicks a switch. The enemy can do that. And we have to be very careful. That's why it's so important to put on our armor. Mm-hmm. Very, very important to put on our armor. So in this scripture, Paul encourages us to walk wisely and make decisions that are in alignment with God's will and his wisdom. Mm-hmm. We are to be intentional with our choices. We are to focus our activities on those things that have eternal purposes. That have eternal significance. If you have an opportunity, that Colossians chapter 4 is a really good read. It kind of goes a little bit more into this. In other words, we're to make the best of every opportunity. Paul also acknowledges that the days are evil.
Yeah.
He recognizes that the world is filled with challenges, temptations, and he defines it as moral decay. What was happening back when he was around? I think it's 10 times worse today. We are to be vigilant and ensure our spiritual walk avoids distractions that can lead us away from our faith. Your faith will always be challenged. Every day our faith gets challenged. You know, I was redirected to Matthew 6, and I kind of chuckled a little bit when you read that this morning, Pastor Matt. Great chapter to read. It's in my notes. That's why I know it's good. So point number one I had here was time is the currency of compassion.
Mm, yeah.
None of us can get back time. You can always get back money.
Yes.
But your time's limited. Now, you know, as the oldest person in the room, I can make that statement. Because I'm 78 years old now. And, you know, people have often said to me lately, Bob, you're running out of time. And I'll say, no, I'm not.
No.
Can't speak that.
No.
Right. So many times people say that, though, you know. You know, you're getting old.
No.
You see, I look at it this way. When I got saved, I became a new creature in Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I may be an older individual in the natural, but I've been living in eternity since I was 27.
Yes. Wow.
You see the difference? That's the mindset. You know, you got to look at your where you're at. I mean, I know everybody in this room is saved. So we, from the moment that we renewed our relationship with Jesus, we were actually living in eternity. We're just in the natural. We'll make that transition into this spiritual. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Just a transition.
Come on.
So it's pretty cool. Love that. None of us can get back the time we wasted. When we give of our time, God multiplies the impact that we can have. God can also extend your life. I'm a perfect example of that.
That's true.
Now, Pastor Matt and Pastor Sharon and I were in St. Thomas, where Sharon and I were renewing our vows. That was last February, March. And I wasn't well.
That's right.
I was not well at all. And then, you know, I had my birthday in hospital in April. And 3 days after my birthday, I had open heart surgery. My father took care of me.
Yeah.
He healed me. And he left me on this earth so that I can keep my wife in order for the next. I pray about that a lot. No, but you know, it's amazing how God does these things. You know, I've learned over the years that he's so involved in my life that I don't always give him credit for everything that he does for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can give the enemy more credit sometimes.
That's right.
Things,
yeah, that's good.
Than we do God.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he's involved in every aspect of our life.
Right.
You know, so I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm around to cause trouble for a little while longer. Not sure how long, but that's his business, not mine. Yeah, it says in the scriptures that Jesus took time to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been watching The Chosen. We have all the videos now. And, you know, if you look at all the situations, you know, the woman with the issue of blood,
yeah.
Zacchaeus the tax collector, the blind man, the woman at the well.
Come on.
You know, Jesus took these individual moments, ministry moments, and he made them into personal interaction times. He was real.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, this God that we often, you know, envisage this throne in this huge, you know, New Jerusalem where God is, and then all of a sudden angels fly everywhere. Not like that. Jesus was real. He was just a regular, you know, he was God in man form. And he treated people just like we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. So, we can do the same. Why not?
Yeah.
We should be able to go to anybody in the street where we work and just have a straightforward conversation.
Yeah.
Just be real. Be real.
Mm.
The question we have to ask ourselves is this: where am I investing my time Is it on things that fade or in things that last?
Come on.
We got to invest our time where it's of value.
Yeah.
In many respects, time is way more valuable than money, and I can relate to that. I'd say yes. Money's great, but it's what you do with your time that has greater value. Somebody read Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, please.
Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
Yeah. Do good. Point number two, energy is to be poured out, not stored up.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Generosity takes energy. Why? Because it costs us. It can be an emotional cost. It can be a mental cost. It can even be a physical cost. We are encouraged to give freely from our abundance, our overflow. God always provides what we need, even to the point of replenishing what we give out. What we give out only has value when it's focused on others. We've learned that. Again, we've learned that the hard way. We have a line that we use in our company that the more we give, the more we get to give.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We had a situation, well, it was about a year ago now, where we got a bonus from the government. We got a check deposited in our account, and we thought it was a mistake. We thought they had given us, paid us for a couple of homes twice. Anyways, we had an extra $374,000. Bonus. Told that we could do whatever we wanted to do with them. Took us a week to give it away. Wow. Praise God. He gets the glory, not Bob and Sharon. God gets the glory for that because that money was given to us for a reason.
Yeah.
Because needs had to be met, things had to be purchased. And it didn't take long to get rid of it. The more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. I mean, God's economy is just... I got to be honest with you. Sometimes there's no understanding of it. It doesn't make sense. But he knows the big picture. Because there is a big picture. We kind of look at things sometimes and we get hung up in the day-to-day situations. You know, that scripture where it says, let the cares of the day be sufficient for you. When you go back to the original text, it's actually let the evils of the day, you know. The things that are not of God. And, but when you focus on the things of God and you're able to move and support the kingdom and help people to grow and mature in the faith, help them financially if they need it, or, you know, meet a need, put it that way. God just blesses, and he blesses, and he blesses. I'm bragging for God today, I'm not bragging for us, I'm bragging for God because we have seen him move in ways that are just over the top. God is good. And as I was reading Pastor Matt's notes the other day there, I got a chuckle out of the flashlight using his phone to see his way through street signs down in Sri Lanka. No street lights. You know, Matthew 5 and 14, Jesus states that we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean? We're examples to the world. It's a lot more than that. A lot, lot more than that. In John 8:12, Jesus declares that he is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will never walk in darkness but have the light of life. So, Pastor Matt, where you were walking, you were the light.
Thank you.
You didn't need the phone. You didn't need the phone. You were the light. You know, and I shared with the group this morning, dear, about 100 years ago when I was much younger than I am now, I worked in a factory in Scotland where we made rope for shipping industry. Big rope. You know, the old, no synthetic rope then. This was before the synthetic rope became the big thing. And I was working with this guy, Frank, who was a retired lighthouse keeper. And Frank was a wealth of knowledge, you know. He was always, he never stopped talking, actually. But he was always sharing all of his life experiences, and he was telling me that his, as a retired lighthouse keeper, his lighthouse, when it was lit, would light 20 miles. Imagine. And this was old technology, no LEDs, you know, incandescent light bulbs. And 20 miles is a long way in the darkness.
Yeah.
But that shows you that the light, when the light pushes the darkness aside. So when I was looking at this, and I thought, you know, when we shine our light up, Holy Spirit magnifies who we are and who is in us, and it shines that light on and it's there to attract people because they'll see the difference in you. And it just pushes that darkness away from sometimes hovering over some individuals. Holy Spirit gave me that little revelation about the light that we have, that the light that we have is not 20 miles, but the light that we carry goes all through eternity. That's key. Never stops. Keeps going. Because it's God in us. Pretty cool. You know, in our office at THFS, we have a wall decal at the top of the stairs. Now, I am not allowed to use the elevator, even though my name's on it. I have to walk up the stairs because I have to exercise every day. So when I drag myself up the last step, I can read Jeremiah 29:11.
Wow.
Oh, man. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God has for each and every one of us. Really, boys, it's time for us lions to turn our lights on. We need to turn our lights on because no one else is going to do it. Serving others will not drain our batteries. We're not dollar store batteries. We're bona fide Holy Spirit rechargeables.
That's good.
As long as we focus on the interest of others and not just on our own interest, we will remain plugged into the charger. Got to stay in. Got to plug it. God always gives us what we need. Why? Because He knows what we need before we need it. We cannot limit God. He won't allow us. It's not how He operates anyway. Somebody read Philippians for me. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, please. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others.
Yeah. That's a challenge for some of us, you know, to look beyond ourselves and focus on this. Anyway, point number three, attention is the highest form of generosity. Pastor Matt commented on the importance of paying attention to individuals that he was ministering to on his mission trip. Like Jesus, he made them feel seen and known. He made them feel that they mattered. Nothing worse than trying to have a conversation with someone and their eyes are looking somewhere else.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't operate that way. You know, he made total eye contact. As people who have been chosen to be the light of the world, we can't minister to anyone if we don't have eye contact. If we're not listening to every word that's said, if we're not saying to them that they matter, we have to demonstrate to them, that we're concerned about their need. We live in a world today where people are more attached to their phones than they are to God.
Yeah.
I see people daily. I drive downtown every day here in Illinois. And I see people walking along the street and they're texting and not looking where they're going. And sometimes they walk off the curb and the lights are the other direction.
Yeah.
And cars just miss them and then they're, you know, looking at the driver of the car as if, what's wrong with you? Are you not paying attention?
No.
Yeah. I actually saw a joke the other week there about the new people that had arrived in heaven, and one angel says to the other, you can tell all the new people.
Yeah.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah. That's good.
We live in a world today where people are more attached to their phones. Yeah. Ready? We lions are encouraged to be generous with our presence, both in conversations, prayer, and in family situations.
Yeah.
We're special people, you know. We're chosen. And, you know, as men, as fathers, brothers, sons, you know, we're called, I think we're called to, by God to agree. He has a better level of expectation from us because of the blessings that he's poured out and the way that he takes care of them. You know, Jesus demonstrated the ultimate example of generous living. We're supposed to do the same.
Yeah.
You know, in Mark 10, 45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So there's a few key points here. Jesus was generous in every aspect. He stopped and interacted with people. He gave his energy by healing people. He gave his attention by listening to what people had to say. And to finish it all off, he gave his life for all. You know, I'm a Star Trek fan, always have been. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a spaceman. So much so that my mother had space wallpaper in my bedroom.
Nice.
And I used to drive everybody crazy because I was going to go to the moon and I was going to be an astronaut. And then when Star Trek became the big show in the 1960s, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And that's great. Well, back in the day, there was a movie, The Wrath of Khan, where Spock was saving all by sacrificing his life. He makes a statement, the needs of many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one. And, you know, over the years, I've kind of looked at that expression, and I realized that Jesus would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
He gave his life for all. But if there was only one, he would have given his life just for one. Because that's the level of love and generosity that the Father has for his people, for his creation. Yeah. That's how much he loves you and me. As we come closer to Christmas, I'm going to challenge you this morning to live dangerously. It's always fun living dangerously. I do it a lot, and I get in trouble a lot, but it's okay. So let your generosity flow and serve others more than you've ever done in your life before. As Pastor Matt says, it can be messy. Yeah. Inconvenient? Yep. But it's always impactful. It always makes a difference. You're never more like Jesus, you know, when you're serving somebody else. Because we're called to be that. We're called to do what he did. In fact, the word says that we'll do more than he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greater things than these shall you do, he says. That's what he said in Matthew 28, I believe. The takeaway this morning, money is great, but time is our greatest treasure.
Woo!
Cool. That time again, you know, we always, one of the things about College Street is that we do a lot of things in this church that I've never seen done in other churches, and that's we always give that opportunity for people to, you know, become part of the kingdom. So here we are. I know everybody in this room, and I know everybody in this room is saved. But we'll pray that prayer anyway because
somebody's watching.
It's the thing to do.
Yeah.
People are watching.
Right now, yeah.
I'm sorry, people are watching. I forgot about you. But, you know, it's important because we have to reaffirm to ourselves sometimes in our own minds of who we are, what we are, and what we really believe in.
Good.
So, I prayed that prayer with me this morning, and we'll see what God does with that. See how some people might be influenced and decide that today's the day that they're going to. Today's the day they're going to get the light, so that their light will shine through eternity. It's important. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together today, Father. We acknowledge that Jesus was your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you sacrificed him to purchase, to redeem back the relationship between us and with you.
Yes,
so today we just declare that to be so in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you saved us. We thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us. We acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God. We recognize, Father, that He died on the cross and that he was raised 3 days later. And we are thankful that we are now part of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us this way today. So we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor because you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen.